Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh. Sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Emily McMurrin. Emily is an intuitive alchemist. What does this mean? Well, she uses her intuitive senses to create healing foods, as well as having created 18 sets, known as constellations, of high vibration healing products. Each set consists of an elixir, healing cream, and an energy spray. Every set is individually handmade for the person ordering it, and are made using her own range of high vibration gem and flower essences, specially blended aromatherapy oils and all natural ingredients for the creams. Emily also makes bespoke sets for people according to their needs at the time. She created her first gem elixir in 2006 and has been making elixirs for people since 2008. In terms of her alchemy in the kitchen, Emily is nearly completing her recipe book, The Alchemist's Cookbook, Balance and Wellness Foods. Emily has always been passionate about food, and after her body went off meat in 2011, her whole life changed as she had to suddenly rely even more on her alchemy skills to provide wonderful flavours without the use of meat. This led to her friends asking her to give them her recipes, and then suggesting she write a recipe book. So she set to and started writing them down. And oh, are we delighted that you started writing them down, having just had one of your breakfasts and feeling very happy and replete after my Emily Alchemy breakfast. So thank you.
Pleasure.
So tell us more about how the whole elixir and healing energy creams and potions, where did that come from? How did that all start?
Well, it was actually a mutual friend of ours, Elaine Copeland.
Ah!
Yeah, so I went to have a kinesiology session with her back in 2006. And at the end of the session, she handed me a piece of green fluorite.
And what's that?
Green fluorite is a lovely gemstone.
Okay.
And at the time, I didn't know anything about green fluorite. I then looked it up because she said I had to make a gem elixir from it. Well, I had already by then bought the Crystal Bible, which is by Judy Hall, which is an
excellent. I've got
that. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I have book one, which is great. I think it's up to book three now. And so I looked it up, and in the back it tells you how to make an elixir, which I'll say in a moment. And the properties of green fluorite were very much around the digestive system and the gastrointestinal tract. And a great stone of elimination. So I thought, okay, that's interesting because I've suffered ad hoc with digestive problems for a long time. And so, well, okay, we'll make this and see what happens. So how you make a gem elixir is you take the gemstone, you cleanse it. There are different ways of cleansing it. Either you can hold it in your hand and imagine that you've surrounded it with white light, so that it's completely cleansed.
Right.
If it is a stone, most stones are okay to put them under running water. Some, like, I'm going to forget the name of it now, aren't I? I was going to say sodalite, which is wrong. Selenite, which is beautiful, usually pearlescent. I have a very unusual one, which is in golden colour. That is salt-based, so if you put it under water, it will dissolve.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
I'll tell you a funny story about water in the stone in a minute. But this one first. So what you do is you can also put under running water, and you need to check that that's okay first, because that will cleanse it in all kinds of ways. Or you can smudge it, and you smudge it by lighting some incense or some white sage, and then just passing it over and around the stone, so that cleanses it.
What about putting it out on a full moon? Isn't that something if you put crystals out on a full moon, the light cleanses them?
Yeah, so what I do every year is on the solstice, the summer rather than the winter, so it gets the sun and moon energy. I put them outside, to cleanse. So I laid them all out, and the house was very bare, because as you know, there are lots yeah. of them, and I have a big house. And what happened was I had this amazing configuration. It was a sedimentary rock, and out of it were growing cubes of pyrites, which is fool's gold.
Okay.
So I put this out, and as always happens whenever I do it, it gets manifest some rain as well. So I came down the next morning, and there was no sedimentary rock left. But what had actually happened was that all these hidden, these tiny little cubes had been revealed. So they have now gone around the house.
Good grief.
So rather than just being up in my healing room, this structure, it actually revealed all these hidden pieces of pyrites.
Good grief.
I know. So that's my funny little tale about be careful and check things first before you let them anywhere near water, because I hadn't thought about that. I didn't put the selenite out, by the way. And anyway... So that's how you can cleanse them, absolutely. I put them up for 3 days and three nights, because I like trees and it feels right, really, there. And then, of course, we had three elements. We had the sun, the moon, and the rain as well. So when it's cleansed, in whatever way you wish to cleanse it, you put it in, I always put it in cut glass crystal.
Is that important?
Well, it just feels nice.
Okay.
You know, it can. Initially, I used to put them just in a glass bowl. No plastic, just glass is best. But I have some lovely little jars, you know, which cut glass crystal jars.
Is that
jars.
Important? I mean, is there something about putting them in plastic that they would absorb some of the chemicals? In
yeah.
The, okay.
Absolutely. So it must be pure.
Right.
And then you just cover it over with... I use St. Helens spring water from our local spring, so I go and collect it. Equally so, you can use filtered water, which is perfectly okay. And then I leave it for 3 days and three nights. Sometimes I put it outside in the garden if I feel it needs to be there, and I put it on the lawn. Usually it's in the serenity room, which is where all the, as you know, all the gem elixirs and things are kept. And when it's finished, you have what's called a gem water. So in order to preserve it, you need to add alcohol. I tend to use vodka, mainly because I feel vodka is the purest form.
It is the purest, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's a problem if you're allergic to wheat, which happened recently for somebody who hadn't thought about it. And
oh,
I didn't
gosh.
Know that she had Crohn's. So she's had to stop taking it. Thankfully, one of the items that she really needed, she has a heart condition, self-heal. And my self-heal, which is a flower... I had actually made in brandy originally. It's one of the very early ones. So that was okay. So I've made her just the self-heal. I cannot, unfortunately, at the moment, the rest of the...
So a lot of them are in brandy, aren't they? A lot of back flower remedies are in
brandy. They're in brandy. For me, I just felt... When I went to do the... I think it was when I made... Yeah, it was when I made the wild... The wild violets, they're very tame actually, really. They don't bite. But they have an abundance of them in my garden. And I looked them up, which is in 2013, May, actually 3 years ago, and discovered that they were phenomenal on many, many levels, for the heart, for upper respiratory tract infections.
Gosh.
For bringing into balance the emotions, all kinds of things. And so I thought, oh, right, okay, I'm going to make an elixir from this. And unusually for me, I actually took photographs of the gathering of the flowers and putting it into the jar and then filling it with the vodka, which is the first time I used the vodka. And second anyway, it's fine. It was the evening primrose, which was the first one. And at the same time, I also made dandelion flower. Normally you get dandelion leaves and dandelion root, which I also have made. I felt with the flower, it's, you know, because it's actually that wonderful sunniness. And again, it's abundance. I have abundance this year again in the lawn and down my Pea Beach Drive and everywhere. So I gathered them up and made them into an elixir, a flower or flower essence, to take in that sun energy. to give nice. Brightness. Yeah. You know, so into our solar plexus point. Yeah. Because one of the dandelion is again very good for the digestion. The dandelion root is a liver detox.
Yeah.
The leaves are phenomenal for the circulatory and heart systems.
Gosh.
Mm. And also all aspects of them are very good as a diuretic. So they're actually very good if you're wishing to lose weight.
Wow.
Because that's one of the properties that you need to let go. Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you think that we have generally around the world, particularly in the Western world, lost sight of our intuitive skill to heal ourselves?
Yes, I do, because people more and more rely on what the doctor tells them.
On the pharmaceutical.
Yeah, completely.
And most pharmaceutical drugs, though, don't they have their origins in natural
things? Yes. Very interestingly, about lemon. Lemon is actually 4 times more effective at getting rid of cancer than chemotherapy.
Okay, run that past me again. How does that work?
Well, because of its very high antioxidant properties.
Oh.
Mm. So what it does, lemon, although it tastes acidic, is actually alkaline. So it leaves behind an alkaline ash, similarly to preferably raw cider apple vinegar. It's the same thing. So they taste sour, and actually they are the antithesis of acid.
So how does that work on the body then with cancer cells?
Well, because in order to live, the cancer needs an acidic environment.
I see.
So the more acidic you are, and in fact, you see, this is the difficulty with chemotherapy. There are lots, thankfully, now more prevalent and easy to access, just about chemotherapy and the dangers, because chemotherapy actually causes the environment, creates the environment in which new cancer cells can grow.
Because it kills off everything. It doesn't just kill off cancer cells, does it? Yeah. It kills off everything around it.
Yeah, and because it provides an acidic environment, it actually also provides the building blocks from the most basic cells to replicate.
So how would you take the lemon? Is it just drinking lemon juice?
Yeah, depending on the severity. So it's actually the vitamin C in the lemon, which is the bit. So there's one particular, an organisation, which is American actually, called Cancer Tutor. Oh. So if any of your listeners are concerned or have cancer or have friends who have cancer, it's a really good site to look at.
Wow.
Because as you know, there's a mutual friend of ours that I'm working with at the moment, and she had chosen to have chemotherapy and now isn't, because she recognised it was destroying her. And it was. Her hands were bleeding.
Yeah.
Her feet were bleeding. They suggested a cream. This is the doctor's, and it did nothing. So I made her an aloe vera and seaweed gel with lavender and rose essential oils in there, and also some ocean jasper gem elixir, which is phenomenal. It's the cancer healer. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? It is believed to be the cancer healer of all gemstones. And in a week, her hands and feet had healed up by 90%. And they're completely healed now, new skin, looking amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the protocol that she is using as part of the whole of the Healing from Cancer program we're doing, is MSM, which is a form of sulfur.
Right.
You take that, you have it as a water, and what it does is it opens up the cells, and then behind that you have the vitamin C, a very high dose of vitamin C, and something called Protandim, which that's all I'm allowed to say about Protandim. Please go and have a look it up.
Okay.
It has amazing properties. It's the four elements in there, including turmeric, which is also known as a great healer from cancer, and as well as many other things. This protocol transforms the cells. So it doesn't kill the cells. It transforms them, the naughty cells, as I call them, into healthy cells.
Okay.
So it provides the right environment for the free radicals within the cell to transform back to healthy cells.
Okay.
Magic, basically. Yeah.
Because we do reproduce ourselves, don't we, regularly? You know, our liver isn't the one that we were born with. And neither are our bones, you know, and our skin is constantly changing.
Yeah.
And I, when I first heard that, I thought, well, that's great, because if you've got something wrong with you, you're growing a new healthy one. But of course it doesn't. It replicates with the old pattern of the harmful one, doesn't it?
Yes.
So are you saying that this will help the cell regeneration skip a generation, if you like, and go skip the bad manifestation and go back to the healthy manifestation?
That's essentially what it's doing. As we know, the unscientific approach, So the cancer tulip is amazing. Amazing sight. It was a real good find, which I only discovered it because of her affliction last summer. So,
Gosh.
Yeah, and from that, around the same time, I was digging up bindweed again for my compost heap. Oh, the bindweed's in the compost heap. This is terrible. I thought, hang on a minute, Emily. You've abundance of bindweed. You've always had an abundance of bindweed in this part of the garden. Why don't you go upstairs, go onto Google and see if there's any healing properties? Because that's what happens. That's how 99% of all the other herbal or flower essences have come about, because suddenly I've had an abundance in the garden and looked up and discovered they had these healing properties. What I discovered was mind-blowing. Not only is it the most phenomenal ridder of toxins and poisons from the body, because that's what it does in the garden and in the ground, and removal of heavy metals and all those kind of things out through the lymphatic system. Also discovered that it stops the blood supply of to tumours.
Good grief.
Mm.
Wow.
And I go, oh my goodness. And as again, in wonderful America, there is actually, which I could provide a link if you wish, you know, there's actually a centre out there which have done extensive studies on this.
Really?
Yeah. It was discovered because, you'll love this bit, and a Native American Indian shaman, this lady had an inoperable huge ovarian tumour, and she chose to go and see the shaman instead, and took an herbal tincture for a year of bindweed.
Good grief.
And a year later, there was no cancer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they started looking into it. And so being, you know,
whereabouts scientist, in America is
Do you know? I can't quite remember, no. But what they have done, they have isolated, because they're scientists, so they've isolated the part of it that and in conjunction with something else, because that's what scientists like to do. What I've done is I actually was intuited to go and collect the roots and have them as a separate one. And I could, they look a bit mean, actually. Look like white worms and not pleasantly pretty to look at. And also then make a separate one of the aerial parts.
Right. So the properties different, them two, from the roots?
I felt that they were, yeah. So this, I was given, I was just telling you about my channeling sessions with a dear friend of mine. What I was told was that what I created was for the lower part of the body, and that at some point I would find the ones for the upper part of the body. Well, they came last year. So this was 2000. Sorry, they came later in the year, that's right. And so I collected them from our beautiful country park up on the cliffs. There's the bindweed there. And it was only the aerial parts that were needed for the upper part of the body. Yet both of these parts were needed for the lower part of the body. So
have you seen results? Have you used them with clients?
And I have. Results? And in terms of clinical results, I don't know, because no scans have been done. They are part of my super detox sets of constellations. Everything in there actually has cancer healing benefits, whether they are stones or herbs or flower essences. And they are designed to do a super detox of the body, just really to eliminate. So, for example, cleavers, which is that sticky stuff, sticks you in the garden, that is a phenomenal lymphatic cleanser. And so therefore is really good, because it helps the cancer to leave the body, because that's one of the big problems, is you've got all these toxins stuck and these naughty free radicals, so you need to eliminate that from the body. So it helps that.
So when going back to your first introduction to this, when you saw Elaine, and you made your own Alexia, did it help your...
Oh, yes, it did. And a mutual friend of ours, Alex, I gave him some and he said, oh, blimmin' heck, Emily, that's really powerful. So, oh, good.
You don't travel too far without access to a loo.
So in those days, I'd just give, you know, individual ones. And then I just started intuiting and I'd have someone come around. Another friend of ours, Jeremy, came around. He had a stinking cold. And so I just put something together. And because I work intuitively, I work very quickly. And just put all this together and gave it to him. And within an hour, he was feeling better. He said, oh, what's in that? Thankfully, I'd remembered, so we looked it up.
Yeah, that always helps.
Yeah. So we looked it up in the Crystal Bible, and because it was all gemstones in those early days. And amazingly, not just the physical symptoms, but also the emotional and mental, where how he's feeling, they were spot on. And the most exciting thing, which we spoke about when you popped around for tea on Sunday, as I've been writing up, so I've just got moonstone to put in the writing up of one of the last of the constellations, the balance in menopause, which is created intuitively, as they all are. Excuse me. And to discover all the individual parts of how relevant they are. So, for example, lady's mantle, which is alchemilla, which is very common in many people's gardens. It is known as lady's mantle because it is beneficial for women.
Right.
And one of the big areas, as I was writing it up, is it actually states it's it's particularly good to use during menopause.
What does it do?
It actually brings everything into balance.
Right.
Balances out the emotions. As well.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Because that can be one of the biggest things. So for some women, bigger than the physical impacts of the menopause,
truly,
is the emotional impacts of the menopause.
It's the hormones. Yeah. It's very good for the hormones.
And some women can feel as though they're just going mad.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Mm. And that's where moonstone also helps, because moonstone calms the emotions. Yeah, it helps in that way. And the one which was particularly exciting was the... red clover, which was picked in Sweden when I was over with my beloved, the Obi, who lives there most of the time, as you know. And we went for a beautiful walk in the countryside where he lives. And with the express purpose of finding yarrow and, well, my part, and red clover. I found an abundance of it away from the road. This is in the forest. And, incredible. I mean, I know it's known to already, you know, to help with the hot flashes. However, it's also because of the high level of hormones within that, within the plant, it actually helps to prevent osteoporosis, which can also happen as a result
afterwards. Menopause,
So this was really exciting. And I've realised more than any of the others the importance of when I'm putting these together for women, that rather than following the, should we say, the basic recipe where I've said how many drops of each has to be put in, and whether they are mother tinctures or high vibration, which we'll come into in a minute, that they needed to be, I needed to tune in to exactly how many drops of each element needs to go in, because it's, it's a combination of gemstones and flower essences and herbal tinctures.
So do you think one of the reasons moonstone is so powerful is that a lot of women can find that their menstrual cycle goes with the cycle of the moon? So women, we are very heavily influenced by the cycles of the moon, aren't we? Is moonstone related to that, or is it something completely
separate? Yeah. So you have to be careful. Some women, it's best to refrain from wearing moonstone at the time of the full moon, because it can send you a bit mad.
I mean, okay.
can go the opposite way.
It can exaggerate
absolutely.
Everything.
So I actually made a moon. Well, when I made the moonstone elixir, it's made with three types of moonstones. Made with a black heart moonstone, with a snowy white moonstone, and a creamy moonstone.
Because I only thought it came in white. I didn't realise you could get black.
You also have a rainbow moonstone, which is very beautiful. Yeah. And it felt right to have those three elements in there. And so I find it's rather good to take mid-cycle because it just brings you, well, brings me into balance more on occasions, excuse me, on occasions when I need that. And yes, it's best because it can go the other way. Moonstone, it can enhance.
It can enhance, yeah.
So it's best to be careful.
Indeed. Yeah. So what about alchemy in the kitchen? How did that come about?
Well, I had my first cookery book at the age of 5.
Of course you did. Why am I not surprised by that? What was it?
It was just fabulous. This is my first cookbook, it was called.
Sweet.
And when my oldest nephew, who lives in America, when they were over, when he was 5, I gave him the book. Because he'd already started cookery lessons, so it's obviously going through the generations. Yeah, he was absolutely excited about receiving this book. It had great recipes in it. You know, sweet fried eggs, which were you cut up cut a slice of Swiss roll. Don't know if they had to have Swiss roll in America. I don't know.
Probably it might be called something else.
Yeah. Well, it's essentially. You know,
a sponge with jam rolled up.
Yeah. So a slice of that, and then you put half a tinned peach on the top, and then pipe cream around, and there you had. So it was great recipes. I love it.
Yeah. It will appeal to a 5-year-old.
Truly, yeah. And pigs in blankets and all those kinds of things. So I realised, well, there's little point in me having it anymore anyway because I didn't eat meat. And I found it in the loft and ahead of going up there and to my parents where they were coming over to. So he was really excited by that. So I've always had a love of creating things and you know, I would create a recipe. Well, sorry, I would follow a recipe and then I go, oh, well, it needs a bit of that and it's not quite enough of that. And so that's really how... there are certain recipes where I do follow them to the letter. And even with the... well, as you know, if I'm making a Victoria sponge, I'll play around with the flavours in terms of you know, different essences to put in. So one of my favourite ones is vanilla extract, strawberry extract and rose water extract. Mm. Just a little bit of that, you know. And it just gives it a slightly different, you know. So keeping, rather than reinventing the wheel, it's just tweaking it.
So you say the book is balance and wellness foods.
Mm.
Tell us more about that. Okay. What does that actually mean? Is it running alongside your elixirs and your essences to be taken at the same time, so you eat and take these at the same time? Can they stand apart, be separate? How does it work?
Yeah, they can stand apart. The idea of balance and wellness foods came about fairly recently, really, when I had a business meeting with a business advisor, funnily enough. Amazing. Yeah. So, what I've also created, which you are semi-aware of, is a diagnostic report which looks at the whole of the person. So it's using the principles of the ancient Indian science of Ayurveda, which are looking that there are three mind bodies or doshas as they're called. There's certainly not time to go into big detail here of those. And if our unique mind body or dosha, because it can be a combination of those individual mind bodies, is out of balance, there are certain foods and tastes which can bring it back in. So there are six tastes: sweet, sour, salt, bitter, pungent and astringent. If we have all six of those in a meal, and that can be through our what we were drinking as well, then our body's in balance.
Okay.
Yeah. If we're just favouring So fast food tends to be sweet, sour, salt.
Of course, if people have a very sweet tooth, they're going to be going on the sweet and they're not going to have anything else, are they?
Truly. So that can be what's... There's one my body called a dosha, the dosha, which is called a kapha, and they have absolutely a propensity towards sweet.
Right.
So they can gain weight, and they find losing weight very difficult. So that can be countered by other tastes. So, yeah. And then I discovered this in 2009 myself through lovely Deepak Chopra and his Magical Mind, Magical Body.
Mm.
And at the same time, I was also reading a book all about five elements wellness, which is the Chinese side. And I noticed that with the five elements weaknesses, there were similarities to the out of balance areas of these doshas. So I combined the two into two separate questionnaires as part of the Abundance for Many side of things. And from that, beta tested it. And put together reports, which then people then came on our workshops, which was with Obi, who is a specialist in Qigong, which just means the flow of energy.
Right.
Mm. So it's through the breath, where you can also heal yourself. As part of the workshop, we have a practical cookery session, which everybody loves, you see, and then they're my recipes, and everyone loves my recipes. So when I put together reports, I would put specific recipes for those people, including healthy drinks, to get them back into balance and maintain balance. And the reports are really rather large, actually. No surprise there. So I suddenly thought, or I had come up with the title, or was helped with the title, The Alchemist Cookbook, and I thought, well, I could have the subtitle be Balance and Wellness Foods, although actually it's drinks as well. There's a whole chapter on balancing drinks, which are, it's quite rather wide actually. And I'm also covering in the book about the different health and healing properties of different spices and herbs and, and about lemon and lime and all those kind of things.
Well, I've just come back from India, as you know, and they are so aware of the healing properties of spices.
Mm.
Incredible. And what also really surprised me, because I didn't know, is that they will not wear deodorant.
Mm.
So they use talcum powder to stop to absorb perspiration.
Mm.
But no Indian person will put on deodorant because they say, no, it's unhealthy for the body. Mm. It blocks the lymph, you know, the body's ability to excrete toxins.
Mm.
I thought, oh my gosh, because we know that, but in the West we get so bought in, don't we, with media campaigns and what we should be doing, and God forbid we should ever smell, that we operate on fear, and we're sold to on fear.
Mm.
So it's amazing how much wisdom there is on the planet, but in the Western world we've lost sight of so much of it.
But yes, I think it's become a very consumerist society as well. Yeah, so that's how it came about. So of course, I mean, if you just ate lots of the cakes in the recipe, imagine then you wouldn't necessarily be in balance. if you balance that with, so it'll be fine. And actually, on that, what I did was I experimented with different types of flowers. So I use spelt flower, white spelt flower, for example, and also experimented with different combinations of gluten-free flowers, because I did really reason, because I got the gluten-free flour and couldn't bear it. It was horrible. So I decided to make my own. And sometimes we had very funny results. so we had one situation before mentioned Elaine and also our other mutual friend, Bridge. We do swaps and they come for piano lessons, as you know, every other Monday now. And I always make cake. And they've all gone in the recipe books. And this particular time, I was combining, rice flour with tapioca flour.
Mm-hmm.
And the most extraordinary thing happened, the alchemy, they separated.
Oh!
So you actually had more of a, you know, the kind of more chewy type of texture on the bottom, which was the which was the tapioca, and then he had a light up stone on the top. And I'd made these, they were little like ginger and lemon sponge, and they tasted really nice. But I go, oh! And Rich says, can you do that every time? I said, I don't know. This is the first time it had happened. I changed slightly the quantities of each. And that's what happened.
It's amazing, isn't it? Just a small bit.
Yeah, very funny.
So how close are you to completing the book?
Now a lot closer than I was a few days ago. Because I got over the block of what was
fantastic
putting me back, which was a fear of exposure, you know, putting my head over the parapet. So all of the recipes bar, I think about... 98% of the recipes have been written already anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's putting them together. What I wish to do was to write a little bit about, you know, what they are and why. Because, as I say, a lot of the sweets and cakes and things are actually healthy for you and taste yummy. That was my whole intention. So a number of them were created with, I've got one, my Goody Two Shoes cake, which is very, very popular. Particularly the Christmas cake version, which is a bit naughty because it has alcohol in it. It's soaked in brandy overnight. It has no sugar in it. It has no eggs.
Wow.
It's gluten-free and no butter.
Good grief.
And it tastes delicious.
Good grief.
Yeah. Mm.
That's quite an achievement.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's good fun. And
yeah.
And also using molasses, for example. Molasses is the rawest form of sugar.
Okay.
So it doesn't have the same sugar surge. So,
right.
So just, yes, we're just experimenting. So in terms of when the aim is to have it September, October, I'd say, this year.
Published.
Yeah.
Just in time for Christmas.
Oh, that's, yes, handy. That's a good idea, isn't it?
That's a very good idea. I say that's very good timing.
Yeah, and it's to be, as I said to you on Sunday, it's to be spiral bound.
Yeah.
And so that it can go on landscape, so you can stand it up, and it will be wipeable pages.
That's so practical.
Yeah.
I mean, how many cookbooks are like that? And they end up, well, they're not. So they end up with smudges or torn, or,
yeah,
you know, bits of the ingredients have landed on it, and... right, yeah, splodged in the middle of the very bit that you need to read, and that's, you can't get it off, and it's there. It makes so much sense.
It does, and also I like to have things all neat and tidy when I'm cooking, so it's all in points. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. This is what you need to do, and also a list of equipment that's needed as well as the ingredients. So I wanted to make it as clear as possible, because I've been looking, you know, in my recipe books and also browsing ones in, you know, bookshops. And so many of them are written for advanced cooks.
Yeah.
And this isn't necessarily that I'm saying I want just to go to people who haven't really cooked. It's you want to be as efficient as possible and know what you need to do.
Well, we're all time poor, aren't we? Mm. So, the easier things are to follow, the better it's going to be for us.
Yeah.
I see an Emily's Alchemy Kitchen TV programme coming.
Well, then we will see. Wait and see. But I have had that... Yeah, that image for quite a while, actually.
See, I think you go down really well in America, just in case anybody happens to be listening over there that might be influential in this. I think you'd go down a storm in America, just saying. It's really, really exciting. Mm. So Abundance for Many is your website. What does that mean?
Well, it came from... I had a previous company, as you know, I was an independent financial advisor for 22 odd years. And so I had a bank account as AFM. And so, so I sat down with Obi one day and I said, well, we can use this bank account. And so we need to come up with a name. So I came up with Abundance and he said For Many.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You
know? And the our strap line, which I don't know where that came from nowhere, really, out of the ether, is specialising in easy-to-digest knowledge to attain perfect health and well-being.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so very clever.
That's what it's about.
Very clever. So that's www.abundanceformany, all one word, all lowercase, .co.uk.
Yeah.
And you've got a Facebook page, Abundance for Many, as well.
Abundance for Many UK.
UK.
Apparently somebody had taken the name Abundance for Many when Obi changed it from a page. There is Abundance for Many page as well.
Right.
We just found that when we were posting things on the page, people weren't seeing it. So we decided to set up a group so people can ask to join.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, of course, we will allow people to join as long as their intentions are good.
Of course.
We have had occasions, I know you have too, when people join a group. My Apostrophe Survival, which is, you know, very important too, had somebody who asked to join, and okay, fine. And they just used it as a vehicle to go and advertise their business. And I was so peeved that before deleting them, I told them in no uncertain terms that that was never the intention of the site. And, you know, and I was most perturbed by such treatment.
So what's... Yeah. 30 seconds.
Wow.
What's the future?
Not orange.
No, definitely not orange. Rainbow.
Yeah, rainbow. Yes, the future is rainbow.
Future is rainbow.
Yeah.
That brilliant place to end. Thank you, Emily.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to Katie Day and Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women over 40 are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.